Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your presence. May you come upon each and every heart. See how we desire to know not just truth in that respect, but to know you and to have you not just in our midst, but in our hearts. Lord, you have separated yourself and you can join in every single soul right now. Touch us now, Lord, as we look into the scriptures. Help us, Lord, to see how close we are to thy coming. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 There have been services preached over the years. I remember one time I heard a message of Brother Branham. Some people think that I traveled with Brother Branham. Hey, in my mind I do. But I was too young and too far away because I didn't live in that part of the world. The closest I was to Brother Branham was in 1950. I was only 1 year old. I was running around in my diapers. And I didn't know anything about a man called William Branham. But he had services in Oslo, Norway. And I lived about 530 kilometers north of that. But later in life, I was privileged to be introduced to the message that he had been preaching over the years. So I am one person, just like you all. I never saw the man. But I've heard the voice of the Lord. And that is what that man heard. He represented the Lord Jesus Christ in the very best way that you can ever think. And that is why he ran into so much trouble. Because people want Jesus on a little distance. Not too close. Because too close will change them. Right? So, and when you read your Bible, everyone that looks into that dimension where the Lord is, and you cannot push yourself in there. It is God Himself who opens up. And He lets you in so that you can have a changed life. But once you are in there, you are also warned. They will hear you, but they really won't hear you. They can see you, but they really don't see you. Because to be in that dimension is very different. But by the grace of God, on the day of Pentecost, the Lord opened up the avenue for the tree of life, which is nothing else but the Holy Spirit. Right?
Adam
was not allowed to approach the tree of life because he had turned into mortality. And then the Lord put a stop to the entrance and to open the gateway to that entrance would take the second Adam. And on at the river of Jordan, when John saw Jesus coming, and he saw the dove coming down after Jesus was baptized, because the Lord had spoke to John and said, "The ones you see, the Holy Spirit come over and remains over. That's the one." And he gave John a token. You will see a dove coming over him. And then there was a voice. "Behold my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And John knew that his job was done. And Jesus Christ was filled with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He received the Holy Spirit in a full measure. We receive 9 gifts of the Spirit. And in you, all the 9 gifts are there. It might be that it won't pop off. It might be that you will not be inspired to operate all the 9 gifts. Maybe you will operate 1 or 2 or whatever. But Jesus didn't only have 9. He had 12. Amen. But you and I, because of our mortal nature, we cannot bear to have 12 gifts. Because our nose will stick up. And we will act like we're gods. If you knew everything going around at all times, then you would be so special that nobody could reach you and talk to you. So he spares that to the millennium when you are transformed and you're going to have a position in the kingdom to come. You will see it in action, because you read in the last part of the book of Revelation that there was a river, of life, which is not a river. And there was the tree of life, which is not a tree. The river and the tree is a spiritual application. But it helps your mortal eyes to visualize something. And the fruits, you read that also in Ezekiel chapter 41, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's about the millennium kingdom. There's a tree of life. One tree of life planted on both sides of the river. And how can one tree be on both sides? Right? And of course, it's simple. Because the river is not a river. It is the spiritual law of God that comes out of the temple. And it gives nourishment to the tree of life, which is who? The God Spirit in you. And you will not bear fruit 9 months of the year. Nine gifts of the Spirit. You will give fruit 12 months of the year. Because then it is complete. And you will have leaves on your tree that are for the healing of the nations. My Lord.
Amen.
Why did I start like this? I never even had plans on that. But I can tell you, I hope that puts a longing inside you. Because from here and to the end, or should I say to the new beginning, it's going to be a very challenging road. It's going to be very interesting. But you cannot make it if you don't have faith. Right? And remember what I said about faith? That means God speaking to you, telling you what to do, and you being faithful in what He says. Now you are on the road to the fulfillment. I think the last thing I said last night, approximately, I don't remember everything, but I said we have some interesting days. That's why we have conventions. Hey, I came here in 2013. Expecting God to move. And I'm here in 2026. Have the same desire. And I hope if it becomes 27, 9, 30, whatever, if God gives strength, I'm going to be excited, praying for God to fulfill His plan. And if I can do anything pleasing in His eyes, I'll be happy to. I'll just say, remember, I'm 77. Do you know when David, King David of Israel, died? How old was he? 70. I'm 7 years older than King David. You see, how come? How do you know that? Well, it's simple. He started as a king over Israel when he was 30 years old. And he gave the throne or the scepter over to Solomon when he was after 40 years of kingship.
30 plus 40.
It's not 80. It's 70. Alright. And I'm not talking about deadline day. But I count it a privilege to still be around. Alright. I want to go on. Because we had a thought updating or upgrading, and the question is, where are we now? Well, we know we are in 2026, but where are we now in the scriptures? Does the scripture talk about our day? Can you put your index finger? And the Bible says we are here now. And what is on this side? Or your index finger? Are things fulfilled? And from here and up? Things that are to be fulfilled. So brothers and sisters, don't get lazy. Don't think things are over now. Remember, there are prophecies that goes beyond 1,000 years from now. We're not in the millennium yet. And that's supposed to be 1,000 years. So from now to the millennium, how many years are that? We don't know. Because God keeps His own calendar. We had a good man back around 550 BC whose name was Daniel, and he was a beloved man, very dedicated to the Lord. And the Lord sent angels and instructed Daniel on many things. And he gave an outline that there's going to be 70 weeks given to Israel. And he said that when Israel comes back to their land after captivity, that was the Babylonian captivity, the 10 tribes, they were sent in captivity 100 years earlier, around 720 to 700 BC. The ten tribes were taken by the Syrians, and they never came back. But Judah and Benjamin, they were the ones that were sent to Babylon for 70 years. But when the 70 years was over, they were allowed to go back. And they started a restoration because God told them, through the prophets of course, that you have to restore worship rebuild the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. And when you've done that, I will give you 70 weeks. And I'm going to be there to protect you. But he divided it in three parts. The first seven. That means 7 weeks. They would have prophetic guidance. But then there will be 69 weeks. It's going to be kind of silent from heaven. Because Israel, they did not really better their ways. So God left them with just scarcely guidance. And the last part of the 69th week, or you can say 62nd week, because first 7 weeks, then 62, that makes 69. And there in the 69th week, at the end of it, Jesus Christ ended his life. He was killed on Calvary. And the Lord closed down the 69th week and put it on hold. And there's 1 week left. This is all written in Daniel chapter 9. And when you read from verse 24 to 27, you will see the story. And the world, or should we say the Jews, they're waiting on the 70th week. I don't know if Benjamin Netanyahu knows about it. Because they are politicians. But don't get me wrong. I think they're reading the scriptures. At least they're well known to the Old Testament. But I think also there are some Orthodox Jews that are so curious that they're sneak looking into the New Testament. Because we have 2 billion Christians. Hey, there's only 9 million Israelis. In Israel, of course. But around the world, Jesus Christ have changed almost 2 billion people. There might not be that everybody is changed, but at least they bought Bibles. They're reading the best they know to see if they can get something out of the scriptures. I want to read, and you can keep sitting. I want to go to Matthew chapter 17. And we ended last night talking about the Malachi chapter 4, that John the Baptist, he was a forerunner for the first coming of the Lord. And then we are jumping up to our day, and we found out that in 1933, hey, that is not that far ago. That's only 90 years. Right? Approximately? And the Bible speaks about things that's been going on 90 years ago. Right? So our Bible isn't that old. It tells us things are going on. We just need the right type of glasses to read the story about our own day.
Yeah.
So when William Branham was baptizing people, there was a sensation in 1933, and he heard a voice, and the voice said, as John the Baptist was a forerunner for my first coming, so shall this your message be a forerunner for my second coming. We mentioned that yesterday. And when Brother Branham heard that voice, he never publicly announced what the Lord spoke to him. And remember now, the reason I spoke about Matthew chapter 1 and 2, the reason that I read from Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2, maybe I didn't read it all, but when the angel of the Lord spoke to Mary, spoke to Joseph, spoke to Hannah and Simon, they did not run around advertising what the Lord had told them. Because once they did that, people would be after them. You see, those guys, they're crazy.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the wise men from East. And then added to that, the shepherds in Bethlehem. But none of what happened at the birth of Jesus Christ changed the religious group of people. Right? When Jesus started his ministry, 30 years later, how long have you been a believer? Do you remember anything from 30 years ago? I can tell you exactly. Not everything, but something were so remarkable, it never leaves my mind. And that's about 60 years ago. I can recall and tell it again and again. Hey, that's an experience that the Lord made. And let us, for example, you have Malachi chapter 3, the angel of the covenant shall come suddenly to his to the temple. I wonder, because Jesus, after he had been up in Galilee, he went, when you go to John chapter 7, I think, there was a feast in Jerusalem, and he went down. And what did he do when he got to Jerusalem? He came in the temple and he started stirring up the nest. I wonder if it wasn't an old priest that could have said, I heard that old Simon one time, 30 years ago. And he was speaking about a little child. And Hannah in the temple used to be around us. And shortly after that baby had been there, they passed away. Could this be something? Right? We have to reflect a little. Remember, this is not happening just in a corner of the world. It is the spiritual center of the world. So therefore, when Brother Branham never spoke about the experience until you came up to 1953. Three times. 1953, 1956. And 1961, he gave a report while he was preaching. He said something to this effect. I remember when I was just in my early 20s, I was just a boy preacher, and I was baptizing people. And then, out of a sudden, there was a voice above me that spoke about being a foreigner for the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times in Brother Branham's books. But some people say that's not enough, because we don't believe. He should have said that much more so that we can have a manifested quote very firm. But to some people, it doesn't matter if you have it 100 times. They still don't want to believe it, because it's not in their nature. They're not out to see the fulfillment of the scriptures. They're just out there to suit their thoughts so that they can have something private in their minds. All right. There are many scriptures in the Bible. Of course, in Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 3 to 5, then Isaiah says, there is one crying in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord, and make for the Lord a straight way. And then, of course, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, that's the one everybody knows about. I don't need to read it. But that is the coming. I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the Lord's great and dreadful day. And of course, a great day cannot be a dreadful day. So it speaks about two different days. Then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 13 to 15, here, the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you can receive it, John the Baptist is the Elijah that shall come. And he that have an ear, listen. Then, in Luke chapter 11, verse 13 to 18, that is the angel speaking to Zechariah. Remember, he was in the temple. He was serving the Lord as a priest. And while he was doing that, the angel of the Lord appears right before him and sends him a message that your wife shall conceive, and you shall receive a son, which shall be called John. But Zechariah, he didn't actually believe the angel. There was too much doubt in him. So therefore, the angel stopped his mouth. He was too long in the temple. Normally that service would take just a few minutes. And the people wondered, what's happening in there? But when he came out, they knew, he has seen something. So, he couldn't talk about it. All right.
Amen.
Then, in Luke chapter 1,
then Luke chapter 1,
verse 76 to 80, here, it is 9 months later, where
Zechariah
is prophesying over his own son. Right? And he says, he shall be called a prophet for the highest one, and you shall go before the Lord and clear his road to teach the people of salvation so that they can be released from their sins. Right? So here, there are many prophecies about John the Baptist. And then in Matthew 17, they were asking Jesus, why say the scribes that Elias must come first? And Jesus said, yeah, Elias will come, and he shall set all things in order. But then in verse 12, but I say, Elias is already come. And they didn't know him. Then the disciples understood. Jesus talked about John the Baptist. Then in Mark chapter 9, verse 11 to 13, and they asked him and they said, the scribe says that Elias must come first. And Jesus repeats the very same thing again. No, through Mark. And he says, Elias will first come and set everything right And what it is written about the Son of Man, he shall suffer and be cast away. But then in verse
13,
but I tell you, Elias is come. And they did with him what they wanted. All right. Those are basically the scriptures that are written about John the Baptist. But also this scripture that Jesus is saying, there is one coming that shall set everything right. Yeah.
Amen.
Remember, no religious person would believe Mary. That Jesus was really the Son of God. So the religious group, they are just making their own truth in a way that suits themselves. So when I was in the Pentecostal church, and I started talking about the Laodicean church age, the Pentecostals got very suspicious. I was called into the office. One of the deacons, he met me one time. I was outside Trondheim, and he offered to drive me home, and he gave me very many promises. And he said, if you listen to what I'm saying here, then you'll have a future in our church, and you can come to my office and I will give you a brand new car. Yeah. My, what an offer. But what he said robbed me from the revelation I felt I had inside. So I never went to that office. I don't need a brand new car. I need a revelation. That's what I need. So I was called in on the carpet in the Pentecostal church, and the pastor and the man that wanted to give me the car, they were both in the office. When I came in the door, the man who wanted to give me a car, he said, you never came. I said, no, sir. And the pastor said, but we have complaints because you are preaching things that we don't agree on. It seems to us that you are holding on to William Branham and his message. I said, yes. Because that's the best thing I ever heard. And of course, to cut this short, they told me, we want to erase you out of the book. Pentecostal people. Hey, a Pentecostal by denomination will never accept the message. And I hope that you understand, I'm not just saying the message that people talk about, but the revelation of it. Oh yeah, because there are many people say, yeah, Brother Branham was a good man. On television, you have Oral Roberts, you have Tommy Osborne, and other great evangelists. They are sitting in their studios, and they are asked, how did it start with you guys? And say, well, my ministry, I was even in India. And I came home. I was devastating. I got problems. But I met a man who changed my life. And his name was William Branham. And what I saw there, I'd never seen. And that started it for me. Hey, there are many of the so-called leaders of what we would call the old-timers. When Brother Branham came to town, their lives were changed. But you know, they wanted to keep the structure of organized religion.
Yeah.
Hey, Brother Branham was accused many times. Why don't you build up a better system?
Yeah.
Well, you remember when you read the book about South Africa, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and he said, I will give you the program that will bless the trip. And Brother Branham said, but there are people here that are very influential and they have other plans. And he even told them, this is what the angel of the Lord told me. And they say, well, that's well and good, but we need you here and there. So let's do it our way.
Yeah.
And of course, that put a lot of hindrances in the brother's ministry in Africa. I don't need to go any further. But the denominational church world, they don't want to follow spiritual leadership. And you might say, Brother Stroman, you are on dangerous ground. Well, I'm an old man now. They can do to me whatever they want. Because I know, I have seen it. I've been kicked out of organized religion. And even in the message. I was in the south part in Norway. And Brother Raymond Jackson came to Kristiansand, Norway.
Brother Jackson Wakauya.
And the Norwegians' brothers, they had got messages from the States. Yeah, from the U.S. They got messages from the U.S. that Brother Jackson is not in the message. So have nothing to do with him. And Grace and I, we went down to that city because I heard Brother Jackson in
1973.
That was the first preacher I ever heard. And when he was preaching, I said, he makes the Bible talk. He makes the Bible alive. I said, Lord, help me to be like that. Mm-hmm. And then in 75, 2 years later, he came down to Norway again. And the Norwegian brothers, they attacked him. And the brother tried to defend himself, but it was needless. They had already made up their mind. And then I was sitting there with my Norwegian brothers who was attacking Brother Jackson. And I said, Lord, what is this? What's going on? This is the group that I know wanting to enter in and be among and believe the message of the hour. And you know what happened? The Lord spoke. You might think that the Lord speaks often to me. Well, often enough. So I can have a help to make up my mind on what to do with my life. And the Lord spoke and He said, the very spirit that throw you out of the Salvation Army and out of the Pentecostal church, that is the spirit they are using against that brother. But I said, but that's a denominational spirit. Didn't Brother Branham say that this message cannot be organized? And the Lord spoke back. And you know what He said? That is true. The message cannot be organized. The people can organize around the message. They can pick out things from the message and make a circle around it. And now they stand for certain things of what Brother Branham said. Well, the Lord didn't say that part. That is my explanation. Right? So here, I'm sitting among the Norwegian brothers and the Lord is speaking, and I said, Lord, that means I'm not even welcome here. I was shocked. And when the Norwegian brothers have said what they needed to say, they took off, they left that building, and Brother and Sister Jackson stood there alone together with a Norwegian brother. And I walked over and I said, Brother Jackson, where is your next service? Hey, I was not going to throw that out because I saw the value of the revelation
which is
that the brother had. Hey, he saw Brother Branham in
1952.
And he followed his message up to
1965.
And he saw what the people did with the message. Yeah. And Brother Branham was called an unclean bird. So Brother Jackson was not very popular. But that's okay. You don't need to be popular. You need to be true. True to the revelation.
Yeah.
So we ended up having a few meetings before he went back to the States in
1975.
And there was something Brother Jackson said that stuck with me. He said, if we are going to fellowship together, don't you ever preach me. Hey, Brother Jackson never preached Branham. Hey, did you hear me? I hope you understand what I'm saying here. Hey, he preached the revelation that God gave to Brother Branham. And he even felt that he found scriptures on the titles of the messages. And he even had dreams where he met Brother Branham in the dream. And Brother Branham came to him and said, I want you to go preach for me. But Brother Branham was dead. He's already gone. But in a dream, God can revive. And Brother Jackson, he wrote down seven titles. That he felt was important. This is what the people in the Branham movement need to hear, so that they can get straightened out by the scriptures. And he showed it to Brother Branham in the dream. And Brother Branham smiled. And he said, I want you to go preach for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, in 1997, I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw a big stadium. Like when you play basketball. And in the dream, you know, I played trumpet or cornet. I had my little bugle horn with me. And there was an orchestra beside me. But for some reason, I was not allowed to be in the orchestra. Right? So the orchestra started playing, but in the dream, I'll cut the dream short, because if I tell all the details, we'll be here tomorrow. So here, there was no one in the orchestra who played the lead. Right, when you have pianos, guitars, bass, and you can play the chorus progression. Like if you play the key of E, then you can play A and B, so that the music have some meaning. And when I heard, no one played the lead. I thought it was funny. And then I walked over to the other side of the hall, and I saw an old woman. To me, it looks, she looked like an old Pentecostal woman. In Norway, the Pentecostals, the women could cut their hair. But if you put the hat on, then it's okay to cut your hair. Hey, don't cut your hair. Right? Hey, whatever you have on top of your head, that's not my business. But she was sitting with a purse on her lap, and she was going like this. She said, nobody understands me. Nobody understands. And I walked over to her. And I said, sister, is there a problem? And she said, yeah, I have this letter. And nobody understands the letter. I said, do you have it still? Yeah, I got it here in my purse. And she pulled it out. And I folded it out. It was like a letter-shaped paper. And I took, there was a light. And I looked at it. And in the right corner, it was an imprint, like a watermark. Hey, some letters can have imprints. Like you have a bunch of paper. And they're meant for sending in circulation. And on that top, I saw an imprint of Brother Branham. The picture that he had in 1952 with the amber over his head.
Yes.
And then I started reading, and he said, by Pastor Raymond Jackson.
Sorry.
In the dream.
Bypass.
Yeah.
Sorry, bypass.
It was Raymond Jackson who had written the letter. And then I read the first line. I understand that. I read the second line. Yeah, I understand that even. So the lady said she didn't understand a thing. And I'm reading everything down the line. And I said, my, this is not difficult. But when I read the line that I've just read, fell out of my memory. And I read the line 2, understood it, but it fell out of my memory. So I said, when I read it all, I said, Lord, I know I am in a dream. Now I want to read it very slow, so I can take that letter with me out, knowing what the letter means. And I read the first line, and the first line was the dream of Brother Jackson, where Brother Branham was climbing up on a ladder, because he climbed up to a little cliff, and there was a lead, and he took a crowbar and he stuck it in, because that lead could come off, and he was kind of swearing the lead so that it came open. That was Brother Branham who did. So that means he opened up hidden secrets that hadn't been known to people before.
Amen.
Hey, that's what we feel Brother Branham's ministry is about.
Hey,
a lot of people have preached something similar to what Brother Branham preached. But Brother Branham had a revelation. This means that. Right? And when he had rolled and opened up the lid, then he climbed down and he started going westward. And the last westward, I woke up. I only got one line with me. But I knew all the lines. So, brothers and sisters, God is in business of fulfilling His plan. And now it depends how humble we are. Remember, I don't tell you these things because I'm special. I'm just your brother.
Amen.
And that's what I want to be. When kids come to me and shake my hand, I will shake their hands like I would any adult. Because my heart feels for every soul. And the revelation that the Lord has given in this hour is to me so precious that I'll say, I'll do anything in my power for someone to be enlightened with the gospel of the Bible. All right. Then, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 15 to 18. Do you follow what I say? Do you understand what I'm talking about here? Right? Hey, I'm a simple guy. I don't think I'm very complicated. I want to say it straight out so that you will have a chance to think about it, pray over it, and then believe. You're even free to throw it away. All right. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. All right.
Amen.
I told you. Can we put our index finger down in the Bible and say we are here now? You heard me? Shall we continue reading? And he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, comma. Hey, that's where we are now. We're right here. Think about it. Because it says also, with the voice of an archangel. That hasn't happened yet.
and such bright skies.
The voice of the archangel is just before us. You say, when? What day? What month? Nobody knows. Do you know the start of the 70th week of Daniel? If you go to your Roman calendar, or Greek, or whatever calendar it is, can you pinpoint the start of the 70th week of Daniel? No, you can't. It hasn't started yet. We are in the period of what we call the Gentile dispensation. And the Gentile dispensation started on the day of Pentecost. That's where the people got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the message slowly started going over to the Gentiles. And the 70th week of Daniel, you cannot pinpoint and say, this is the starting point. Now we're waiting. We are right there at the comma. Check it. And if you find something else, come and tell me what you see. Right? But to me, there is as far as 1 Thessalonians 4 has arrived. The voice of the archangel is still to speak. Are you with me there? Okay. Let us also go to Revelation chapter 6. We have verse 7 and 8. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come. And behold, I saw a pale horse, and he that sat upon him, his name was Death, and Hades followed with him. And there was given unto them authority over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with famine, and with death, and by the wild beast of the earth. This might be the last scripture I will mention tonight, so you don't fall asleep on me. Hey, this is very interesting. To me, it bubbles inside. Because I see something. Well, the fourth seal, when is the fourth seal opened? It is opened in your and my time. We are under the fourth seal. We are under the fourth seal. Do you believe we are in the fourth seal? Right? Remember, there were different horses. There was a white one, a red one, a black one, and a pale one. In my Bible it says yellow in Norwegian. But we are under the pale horse. Right? But the horses, that's spiritual powers in high places. And they are evil powers. There's nothing positive about the horses. Therefore, God, to protect the believers, He have four living creatures. Right? You know the four living creatures. That's the lion. And then you have the ox. And you have the man. And you have the eagle. Don't you go around telling people that you are in the eagle age? Right? The eagle is your age. The fourth period, the fourth seal is actually the pale horse and the eagle. Because that living creature is watching over the pale horse, so it cannot go beyond the measure that God sets for persecution and pressure upon the believer. Remember, you are covered and protected by God's power. And God is using an eagle eye to look for all the dangers that can come upon your life. And God's going to make sure you will never meet a pressure that you're not built to take. That's a promise from God. Yeah. But don't you see outside here the condition in this world? It's terrible. But I can tell you, it's going to be a lot worse. Yeah. So here, when it says there, and there was given unto them authority over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword. When did the Laodicean church age start? Approximately around 1900. Right? Where did the wars of the world start? In the beginning of the 1900s, you had the First World War. Millions and millions of people were killed. Then you get up to 1938, and you get the Second World War. And my, 60 million people got killed under the Second World War. But more than that, in 1948, China went into communism. Mao Zedong.
Why is Mao Zedong?
You know how many people he killed? About 200 million people. Maybe even more than that. And then you have Lenin and Stalin. Russia. You know how many people was killed under communism in Russia? 100 million people. You have some crazy men. In the east, there was a man called Pol Pot. I don't know if you never heard about a name like that. But when I look at here in the scripture, and it says here in the last verse, part of it, the verse, and by the wild beast of the earth. I'll stop with this. Right? Who are the wild beasts? Well, you have lions, you have bears, you have leopards, right? They're wild beasts. But in the Bible, they're not just regular lions. You know who was called a lion? Nebuchadnezzar. In the Babylonian kingdom. And bear. And leopard. Medo-Persia. Greece. And the wildest animal that has ever existed. You know who that is? The Roman Empire. With the Emperor Augustus. And up through the ages. That was the time when Jesus Christ was working. He was under the Roman Empire. And the Bible is describing again and again, watch up for the Roman Empire. Right? So you are under the fourth seal. We're living right in it. You say, well, the fourth seal is over. Well, I hope it's soon over. But it will work. Until the Lord decides. Oh. You might say, that was not positive preaching tonight. It is very positive. Because what I'm saying here, I'm alarming you. So that you can be awake. So when the wild beast starts popping up, you can have the right spirit and say, Lord, you promised me to have an eagle eye so I can see the dangers coming and escape it or have the boldness to raise up a standard if it takes me. Because the Roman Empire, it killed 68 million people. And it was not under Constantine or Augustus, but it was under the papal rulership. The time of the Inquisition. The time of the Inquisition, that means a very evil time in the Roman Empire where they wanted to change the believers so that you become obedient. And if you don't get obedient to the system or to the wild beast, they'll take you out.
Why, so would I?
Yeah. So brothers and sisters, when I look at Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8, that is your and my chapter. We live here. And you might say, how much worse is it going to be? Hey, don't think about the dangers. Don't focus on that. Don't focus on fear. You sing songs that you don't fear the devil. Right?
Amen.
How many fears the devil? Right? Now, you love the Lord. How many loves the Lord? Right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, in times of danger,
yes,
it is time to get close to God.
Yes.
So you get on talking terms with Him.
Yes.
You know, the Lord wants you. He wants to inspire you. But He's not going to use you as a toy to play with.
Right.
Now you're going to be an instrument in His hand.
Amen.
You're going to show forth some standard.
Amen.
If you say you believe the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe the message, hey, that gives some responsibility. But remember, you cannot do it on your own. You can only do it under inspiration. God's gonna help you and lead you. Because now, you are under the time where the wild beasts are operating. But don't worry about it. Just stay close to the Lord. So here, Revelation chapter 6 is your day. Hey, it has lasted for about 120 years now. Yeah. But it isn't finished till the 70th week of Daniel starts. That means the fourth seal will last into the 70th week of Daniel. All right. I could go on here, but time is getting late. And I hope and pray that you understand what I have said so far. Right? I pray that you are the people that will raise the standard. Doesn't matter how many people oppose you, or they call you a fool. Be a fool for Christ.
Amen.
Make sure, remember, I think Brother Wanyana, this afternoon, he says the scripture, right? That's what we've been dealing. It is the scripture. And I just explained a few things that is happening in our day, how the Lord is leading us. And I pray that you will have similar testimonies.
Amen.
As the day goes by. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you tonight. Shall we stand? Is there anyone in need for prayer? You don't need to come forth, but if you give a notice that you need prayer, right? Let us ask the Lord to touch your infirmities, your sickness, or your problem. Might be depression or something that you want to see different. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we have touched some scriptures. Maybe some people have been disturbed, uneasy, because of the things that are said. But I pray, Lord, that you will come with healing under your wings. You have the eagle spirit. It is just another anointing from an angel of the Lord to protect the believers of this age. Father, come with your blood-stained work that you have done, because you paid the price. And now, as my brothers and sisters have lifted their hands in need, come and work. Minister to the need tonight so they can be released from pressure and sickness, whatever it is, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. When I stand here, I feel completely free. I love you guys.
Amen.
And girls. And I pray that you see something. We're not done with this. There's another day. I don't know if I'm going to preach. But there's a lot of capable people here. So may God bless you. Have a good night. Amen. God bless you, my brother.